Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Community Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Lohse. And we're having a wonderful conversation with Jenna Tudor, who is with the North Hempstead Animal Shelter. My question just before the break last time, and I think this is tremendous. And I think some seniors, it's like a lifeline. It really is. I mean, your children, your adult children might live in different states, to come home at night and have something jump up and down and acknowledge your existence. Is there some sort of, and I'm stretching the word support group, but ongoing group where I would call and say, you know, Jenna, I don't know what's going on. We had such a good time for the last 2 weeks and now Muffin is just sitting in the corner. That type of thing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we always encourage anyone that adopts from us to call us with any questions, concerns. We would be able to put you in touch with the trainer that works with us who would, you know, she'll talk to you on the phone, no problem. But yeah, so you could always, anybody that adopts, we always encourage them to call us if they have any questions.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. That's important because you don't want somebody to walk away and then feel they're isolated.
Yeah.
They're not getting along with the dog because, I mean, these dogs in a shelter, they might have been abused for 6 months. So just because they're coming into my house and I may be loving, it could take a month for them to adapt and not be afraid of me.
And we're very honest about that. If we know any time, and we're very lucky, we really don't get a lot of, you know, abuse cases in North Hempstead. We really don't see a lot of that. The biggest reason why dogs come into the shelter, honestly, is because people are moving. That's usually the biggest reason, is that they're moving and they are downsizing. They're going into a condo or a homeowners association that doesn't allow pets, apartment. You know, that's the absolute biggest reason that we get dogs in. So
that's a good one.
What?
That's a wonderful reason then.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
versus abuse or anything like that.
We expect people to, you know, if you adopt a dog from us, we expect you to keep it in your moving plans if you are planning on moving. But we're very lucky where we really don't see a lot of, you know, abuse cases like that every once in a while. But for the most part, not really.
I could visualize a senior particularly who's been going along real nice and able to go out and walk the dog and do all the nice things that you can do with a dog. And then all of a sudden, as John pointed out, macular degeneration kicks in, or maybe they had a mini stroke or who knows what. What I'm hearing that's very good, I believe, is you're an alternate for, okay, I want to make sure my dog's taken care of. You are a place that they can comfortably bring the dog and be taken care of and hopefully get into another decent home. So it works both ways. In other words, you can move your dog along in life, if you will, or get a dog.
Yeah. So we don't really want to encourage that per se. You know, one of the things that I actually did want to talk about is if a senior does come in to adopt a dog, we do like to discuss with the senior what's going to happen to the dog if something happens to you, because that's another big reason we get dogs in, is either in the worst case scenario, someone passes away, or they are moving into an assisted living, or they no longer can physically care for the dog. So we do like to talk about that beforehand and see if there's anybody that would, because sometimes, you know, a son or daughter will also be in the conversation and offer to take the dog if something happens to them, or a family friend perhaps, because the older the dog comes to the shelter, the harder it is to get the dog adopted, you know? So we don't want to adopt out a 5-year-old dog, and then in, you know, 5 years, this senior can't take care of it anymore. And it's, you know, they're just like, oh, we're just going to bring it back to the shelter. because it's going to be very hard for that dog to get into a new home. I mean, most people, unfortunately, don't come into the shelter looking to adopt senior dogs. So, yes, we are here as a resort, you know, not, I don't even want to say a last resort, but we're here as an option for that. But the best thing for the dog would be to go, you know, to a family member, for the senior to have a plan before adopting the dog, of what's going to happen if something happens to them.
My grandchildren's question list, I have one that we haven't hit yet.
Sure.
How do you handle anxious dogs, meaning dogs that are thunder, fireworks, whatever? There are some dogs that just can't handle that. Any ideas or suggestions?
Luckily, the outdoor of our shelter is soundproofed, and the inside, the dog in the kennel area, you really don't hear all that much. The dogs don't hear all that much, but we do, we have over the years had a couple that are very spooked, and we just try to put them in a really quiet room. We have a room up front when we know there's going to be, thunderstorms and stuff, but nervous and anxious dogs, we really do our best to keep them as comfortable as possible. We have several rooms that are outside of the kennel that we utilize to kind of create a more homey, experience for them.
So basically, no matter where the dog came from, but if it came from the shelter, the dog may not have heard a whole lot of thunder because it's soundproof, and all of a sudden the dog gets to your home and there's no more soundproof, and you wind up, and I've had it in, again, family wise, that's why this is coming up, where some dogs really, really have a real problem handling fireworks particularly, and then thunder comes along. I guess there's no real miracle to handle it. It's just something you got to ride out.
There's varying degrees of, my dog will, luckily my dogs don't care too much with a lot of fireworks. One of mine will shake a little bit, but there are, vet medications and stuff, and over the counter calming treats and stuff that you can use to kind of chill them out a little bit during that, when you know something's going to be coming up. But unfortunately, that's probably one of the most common issues that people have with dogs. There's a lot of different advice on how to handle that, but I could go on forever about advice, and I don't want to take up the whole segment talking about that. But unfortunately, there's not much you can do to fix that.
Okay. Well, that's an answer.
And
what it means is you have to contend with that as it sits, if you have a problem. Now, here's a question for you. You may never heard this one. My granddaughter says, why do dogs' paws smell like Fritos?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's just the natural phenomenon.
That's an answer. And I, at least I asked the question. Now they're going to be listening to this. So you heard the answer, Jen.
Otherwise, Otto was going to get in trouble this weekend if he didn't ask the question.
I know. I have to. If I ask, I have to answer.
You got another one?
No, go ahead. You're on.
I just wanted to jump in here because we at the break we started to talk in reference to cats and feral cats and that situation in general, which I quasi understand, but not that much either. Just go into the whole situation. I don't believe you take cats, but what do we do with cats?
Okay, so yes, the town of North Hempstead does not handle cats. We do not take in surrendered, cats that are pets. We do not adopt cats out. But something that we do have a feral cat trap, neuter, release program. So I'm sure anyone that lives in North Hempstead or anywhere on the island really, can look outside and you see, cats walking around sometimes. Those are feral cats. They are not fit to be pets. They were born outside, lived their whole life outside. They have no interest in coming in and being a house pet. So what we do for them, because unfortunately feral cats, they do kill birds, which we don't want, native wildlife, birds, stuff like that. They can, you know, carry disease. So what we do to try and combat the population in a humane way is we have a free trap neuter release program. So what that means is a resident can call the town on the, you know, 311 line and ask to put in a feral cat service request. At that point, our feral cat coordinator would call you back and she'd ask you if you wanted to trap yourself or if you wanted to be on our trapper list, where the trapper will come and trap the cats for you. It's just a little bit longer of a wait. We do a clinic once a month at the shelter. So the people that opt to trap themselves, they can borrow the traps for free from the shelter, set them up on their property. We go over how to humanely trap them, tips on how to successfully trap. And then you bring them to the shelter the morning of the clinic. We spay or neuter them. We give them a little bit of an ear tip while they're under anesthesia, which on the left ear, just so if the cat ends up in another trap, that person will know that this one has already been done. And we also give them vaccinations and treat them for, if they have fleas, we treat them for that. And then they get released in the area that they were picked up in.
You're not putting a chip in, are you?
No, we don't do chips because they really don't belong to anybody. So, you know, there's not really a point in doing that.
I wish they had this program a long time ago. I had a situation quite a few years ago where we had a problem with feral cats. Mm-hmm. They kill squirrels, they kill birds, they kill whatever they can get their hands on. And then they got very comfortable and I would be grilling, barbecuing, and all of a sudden there's like two, three of them very comfortable with the idea of jumping up on the piece on the side of the grill.
Oh my God.
to the point where it wasn't a comfortable feeling. And I actually, this is probably 30 years or so or more, wound up getting a trap. And I didn't know about a program like this, but I would take them and drive them to one of our daughters at that time was taking riding lessons at one of the stables over in the North Shore. And I saw they had a lot of cats. So I basically took the trap over there and released the cats with all the other cats at the riding stable.
We don't encourage.
No, I'm saying I'm not encouraging that either. I'm saying that didn't do anything because it didn't neuter them or mm-hmm. It just basically disposed of the problem for me and it put it somewhere else is what it comes down to.
Yeah. And you're
this was all about barbecue. All about the barbecue.
Yeah. You're not.
This was at least 40 years ago, actually. I lived in Manhasset at the time.
Yeah. Well, there are laws. You're not really supposed to be moving them because of rabies concerns. So they shouldn't be, you know, if you do have them on your property, we ask that you talk to us. But yeah, it's definitely illegal to trap them and just move them off your property on these days. So, because of rabies concerns, we you can't do that anymore.
Well, this, as I say, this was 40
years ago. Yeah, no, I know.
40
but just...
years ago. So I'm still free, man.
Yeah. Just for anyone listening that might have that idea now.
You know, the point is, obviously, with the feral cat situation, my gut feeling is call 311. You have a question. You don't really know what to do. You have a few cats you think in the backyard wanting to come to your barbecue. You really don't want to invite them. Call 311 and see what you have to do. Right now, we actually have to take another break. You're listening to Community Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Jenna.